Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Game Train podcast, guys. I'm Carl, and as always, I got Callan here with me.
Hello.
We got a pretty fun one actually today. We've got a lot of interesting things to talk about, but especially with the pre-Tokyo Game Show Sony press release that just showed yesterday. But
Before we get into news, we just want to say a big thank you to everyone that entered our Destiny 2 competition.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys. That was awesome fun.
Yep, exactly. Everyone that subscribed and followed us and all that sort of jazz. And a big congrats to, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I'm really sorry, dude, if you're listening to this. But a big congratulations to Eluid
Vasquez.
There we go. Yes. A big congratulations to you, sir, on winning Destiny 2. I know you're stoked with the prize. Great prize. Congrats.
Well done, and thank you again for entering. You guys are all legends, so you know. Hopefully, we'll have more giveaways in the future, but yeah, we'll let you know when we do.
Exactly.
But yeah, let's jump into the news, guys. So, Bethesda lovers, after hearing the news a little while ago about Skyrim coming to Switch, they've now announced Wolfenstein 2 and Doom both coming to Switch. Wolfenstein 2 is going to be in 2018. And Doom, Czech online retailer, has actually leaked a little bit of information on Doom's arrival. So it's a site that's called kuma.cz, and they listed Doom on Switch with a release date of December 13th, 2017. So, I mean, we don't know how reputable that is, but there it is. There's something. They did say later this year, and I mean, it fits.
Battle Royale is coming to Fortnite on September 26th. Also, while on Fortnite, reports have come out that Xbox and PlayStation players have actually ended up in the same match together. Epic Games have come out since then and said it was actually a bug, and that has all now been fixed.
Oh, I love that. It's a bit sus. It makes you feel like it is that easy just to have crossplay, but PlayStation just won't let us.
It feels like Jim's just hit the wrong button at Epic Games, and then suddenly everyone's like playing the game together, and they're like, Jim, what have you done now?
Or Xbox was like, hey, PlayStation, can we please do crossplay? And they just keep saying no, and they're like, oh, yeah? We're just going to let people see what it's like for a bit.
Yeah.
And then take it away, and they'll fight for it.
That's right.
Worms is also coming out on the Switch. Worms WMD for Switch. It includes all the same campaign missions and levels and customizations updates as the other versions, as well as some extra bits. Switch players will get brand new space theme, a new mushroom and tree fort, new customizations including 3 new outfits and 3 new gravestones. And that is due on the fourth quarter of 2017.
Big Ant Studios has announced Ash's Cricket is coming out November this year to Xbox One and PlayStation 4.
Also, a Tomb Raider's poster and teaser came out yesterday for the new movie with Alicia Vikander. And today, actually, the full trailer is dropping. It hasn't as yet. I haven't been able to locate it. But as soon as I do, I will upload it onto our Facebook page if you guys want to check it out. It's pretty exciting. It's the first Tomb Raider movie since Angelina Jolie's last one 15 years ago. The film opens in March 16, 2018.
Nintendo has announced a Mario Odyssey Switch bundle is coming out on release this year. So Mario Odyssey releases October 27th in Australia this year. So yeah, you can get a, if you don't have a Switch, you could wait till then and get this awesome Mario Odyssey bundle, because that game's probably going to be up there of Game of the Year.
Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty keen for that one. I'm a bit jealous at people who don't have a Switch yet, because they get to have the one with the two red things, and it's going to look bloody awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay, so that's our main news, but also we've got a lot to run through here about the Tokyo Game Show presentation yesterday afternoon.
Oh yeah, yep. I sat down here and watched it all live off one of their streams.
Yeah, and Callan threw up a whole list of everything that they showed on our Facebook. Again, I keep mentioning it, but it's www.facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast if you guys want to jump on there and check it out. But yeah, Callan just threw up a summary of everything worth sort of mentioning.
And just before we get into that, I did make a quick edit to it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because, silly me, I'm watching it, And this trailer starts. I'm like, what is this? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Red Dead Redemption 2. Is this a new trailer? Oh my God. I start messaging Carl immediately, just text after text after text, like nerd screams. He's busy. He's telling me to piss off. Right, he's not impressed by my nerd screams.
It's dude, strange. I'll watch it later. And I didn't want to spoil it
for him because I know he doesn't like me spoiling things like that because he likes to discover it for himself.
Yes, I do.
So I couldn't say anything. So I sat here like a coiled spring just waiting. You know, just
going like, oh my God, wait till you see this, Carl. You're going to see this trailer.
Anyway, 2 hours later, I get a message back. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm watching the thing. And I'm like, did you see the trailer? He goes, oh, what, Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer? I'm like, yes! And he's like, yeah, dude, I saw that like 5 months ago. I'm like,
yeah, it's the exact same footage. Zero new stuff.
And because what happened, I actually never watched the original trailer because, well, I didn't want to spoil it for myself. I was trying to actually avoid it as much as I could. So I actually never sat down and watched the original trailer. And so I actually thought this was a new trailer, but it was just the original trailer. So I got that super hype, and Carl's like, it's just last, you know, 5 months ago, mate. I made a little edit to our post because I originally had in there new Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer.
You must have had it in capitals. I didn't even see that one.
Yeah. So I felt like a bit of an idiot. But then at the same time, Carl's like, that's the hype I had 5 months ago. So yeah, I feel that hype.
And if you guys remember, I did have it on my hype train for about 3 or 4 weeks in a row. For a game that's still a year out, that's a lot of hype. So
yeah,
I understand how Callan was feeling.
Yeah. Oh, and anyway, let's go on with the rest of the presentation that they showed, apart from the Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer. Actually, if you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it and just get hype.
Yes, and if you have, do it again
and get hype as well.
Yeah, it is good. Let's just run through these points. So 60.4 million PS4 units have been sold worldwide. That is nuts.
Yes. That includes PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Pro units in that total.
Yeah. So, like, that many people have PS4 and the library in their hands. This is why third parties are just flocking to PS4 and leaving Xbox for dead, is because you've got a 60.4 million person user base straight away. That is mental. I mean, I knew it was a lot, but wow, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Call of Duty? That looked pretty cool, actually. That's the first time I've seen any footage.
Yeah, they showed another trailer which was all in Japanese, which was quite strange to watch, actually.
It was strange, especially with Americans in the video.
In World War II, which, funnily enough, Americans were fighting Japanese in World War II
at
some stages, and anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Was it a weird sort of Inception trailer?
But it's also getting a limited edition PS4. Which is like a camo-looking PS4, which actually looks kind of cool if you're playing your PlayStation out in the jungle somewhere.
That's true. They also did a Gran Turismo limited edition PS4, which they showed just before it, which is a lot prettier.
And as we'll discuss in a bit, Monster Hunter World is getting its own limited edition PlayStation 4 as well. The fighting game, Deceida. Final Fantasy?
Deceida
Final Fantasy, I guess it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
It's gotten its release date, which comes out the 11th of January next year.
Oh, it looks so fun.
I can't wait to beat up Squall over and over and over again.
I can't wait to just never choose Cloud ever. But man, it looks exciting.
Wow. I'll just choose Vaan then.
Wow. I hope you get cursed to only choose Vaan.
No, that's not cool, man. Come on. Take that
and
one
sometimes,
back.
And sometimes Titus.
No, I like Squall. He was a great character.
He is a great character.
Rather than Vaan, who is just... Yeah, anyway.
Never mind.
Shadow of the Colossus remake got a quick new trailer. Still no release date yet. I was really hoping for this release date to drop, but it didn't happen.
I know, it's so strange. It feels like something that should be, like, nearly out.
Yeah, it even if it had said, like, second half next year, just to give us some sort of idea of when this is going to drop, because I never played the original, so I'm kind of excited to review
really?
This game.
Wow, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
This is like, holy shoot. I don't want to say too many rude words.
I was reading through an article the other day. The original, they wanted to actually have it so multiple people could play the game and take down Colossuses together, but they actually removed that feature because the PlayStation 2 couldn't handle that.
Oh, wow. Imagine if they added that in.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Literal game changer.
Yeah. Also, Final Fantasy IX is getting a remaster on PlayStation 4.
Oh, I can't wait. This version, for anyone who's really super keen to jump in, is out already on Steam, if you want to do that. But, I mean, just Final Fantasy IX, back on a PlayStation console, in your living room, nice big screen. I'm so excited.
When the trailer kicked off, I thought, oh, man, are they going to cut into, like, remastered, like remade footage or something like that? Because then I would have just been like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it's just a remaster. But, yeah, where's the Final Fantasy VIII remasters, guys?
Yeah, come on, still waiting.
Come on, we've seen 12 remastered now, we've seen 10 remastered, we've seen 9 remastered, 7's getting a full remake.
Yeah.
What's going on with 8?
Why does no one want to give 8 the attention it deserves?
Yeah.
Oh, well. What else was there? Mobile Suit Gundam for 2018. That looks awesome fun.
Did you also see the trailer for that other strange game, Earth Defense Team with the giant spiders?
Yeah, let's not talk about that ever again.
Oh, someone doesn't like spiders?
No, not even a bit.
So we're not going to review that game?
No.
Oh.
No.
Come on, it just looked wild. I'm like, and the giant ants as well?
Dude, gross. I couldn't even do the spider scene in Jumanji.
Oh, man. Come on, man. I don't know. Hey, everyone, if you want us to review that next year, if it comes to, like, English territories, write in and say yes, do it, and we'll do it just to freak Carl out. I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
I think that sounds like a terrible idea. I couldn't even do the frostbite spiders in Skyrim. I would just like sprint away. I majored in fire as a mage just because of that.
Wow. PS VR camera bundle launches October 14.
Yeah, that's cool. Finally putting that
camera
into the PS VR, which they should have from get-go, but I mean, it's cool. Better late than never.
Ark Survival Evolved, the open world survival builder game with dinosaurs, is getting a new sort of side game called Ark Park. It almost looks like a Jurassic Park almost adventure, but it's set in the world of Ark.
But it's in VR, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. I looked at that and I'm like, man, I kind of almost want to get a VR just for that.
Yeah, man.
Like, any dinosaur fans out there, I think they'll be on board. I know someone that's a massive Jurassic Park fan. And I could see him, he's already got VR as well, so I could see him out there day one getting this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Speaking of VR, that new Zone of Enders game is coming. Konami's Zone of Enders, it's like a cross between a remake and a remaster. It's got better graphics, and they've added, you know, different little features. But mostly, the whole game is now in complete VR support. And if anyone played the original Zone of Enders and loved it, I can imagine this is going to be so much fun. It's like mechs fighting each other and flying around, kind of like Amiga Boost on PlayStation 1. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that one. What else happened?
Detroit Beyond Human got another trailer. Still no release date on that. It's still just saying 2018.
Yeah.
Getting a little annoyed about that now. I feel like they should have dropped a release date now.
Yeah.
Oh, Square Enix showed a trailer for a new game called Left Alive, which also comes out next year, but not much was shown, so we don't really know much details on that yet, but knowing Square Enix, it's going to be probably some sort of cool RPG.
Yeah, that's true.
And of course, the big news of the presentation, Monster Hunter World got its release date. Yes, a release date happened. Woo!
Finally, something concrete.
26th of January next year.
Yeah, that's not that far, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll be reviewing that next year.
Yep, and of course, the limited edition console is coming out with that one, as Kellen mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Looks pretty rad.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. So that's the gist of the Tokyo Game Show, the pre-Tokyo Game Show.
Exactly. The actual show doesn't start until later this week. So there's going to be a heap more news coming out from all... Like, I assume Square Enix will show a bit more of their Left Alive game, etc.
Yeah.
We'll probably get new details on things. So, you know, we'll keep you guys updated.
Yes, as it comes, and we'll talk about it in the next podcast. Or we'll even chuck it on our Facebooks.
Yep.
And all those kind of things, Instagram, whatnot. And also, just before we wrap up the news, a quick recap of everything on PlayStation Plus. Anyone who's a member of PlayStation Plus, you get these games for free this month. Infamous Second Son on PS4, Child of Light on PS4, Riggs Mechanized Combat League for PSVR, Truck Racer PS3, Handball 2016 PS3, We Are Doomed PS Vita and PS4, and Hatterful Boyfriend PS4 and PS Vita. And anyone with games with gold, with a gold membership on Xbox Live, also you get these games for free this month. There's only a few left because some of them have finished from September the 15th. So the last few remaining are Forza Motorsport 5 Racing Game of the Year Edition, Oxenfree, and for the Xbox 360, which will also work on Xbox One via backwards compatibility, Battlefield 3. And that's available till the 30th of September. And with that, that wraps up the news. Okay, and it looks like Callan's computer has just malfunctioned, guys. Right in the middle of this, and unfortunately, there is no other time we can record this week's episode, so I'm going to have to go ahead without him. He's just texting me now, okay, and said to say again from him, thank you so much to all the listeners and to everyone who entered the competition. He said again to say sorry, very sorry, and that he is now officially, some words I'll leave out, rude ones, but he is on the hunt for a new, brand new computer for future episodes. So I guess I'll get into games we've been playing. I've been playing Destiny 2. I had a lot of fun with that campaign, actually. And Callan didn't care so much, but I think for anyone who played part one, I don't want to say too much because it is a bit of a spoiler. So yeah, let me give you guys 10 seconds. Yep, alright, skip ahead if you guys don't want to hear the spoiler, but it's only small. But right at the end, when they do that little twist and it changes the place where you meet up, the hub, and it's like a full hardcore reference when you walk up to the end and you see that you're in a place that looks a lot like the tower. I felt so many feels from part one going like, oh, cool, this place kind of looks like the tower. Oh, well. And then you're playing in it and that's the new hub. And I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. So it was a lot of fun and walking around and discovering all the old characters from the original hub, and then that the other farm sort of was still there, but you had to go to Earth to see it, kind of hidden away. That was a real nice feeling. But anyway, end spoiler. I don't know how you guys can hear that if you're skipping ahead to not listen, but yeah, I really did love Destiny 2's campaign. It was such a huge step up from part one, and we've just been nonstop. I mean, late night after late night. I haven't played a game like this since Destiny 1. I don't know, like staying up this late this often for 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. I don't know if I've played this much of a game, you know, from its release in recent years since. Well, yeah, so we've been playing that. And what else have we been doing on that? Like we did a strike or two. That's been a lot of fun. Plus we have some better guns and weapons. We have a clan now. If you guys want to join our clan, please do. It's called Old Revolver. PlayStation peeps and Xbox can both join the same clan. The clan is cross-platform, and you can earn points from either side. So that's as close as we can get to playing with different consoles together. So yeah, anyone who wants to join in, you know, just I think you can just request. I've turned it on to make it open. It's not invite only. Jump in and join us and help us climb that. That leveling system, it looks like some cool little perks in the clans there, so that's a lot of fun. Plus, we're still just chipping away at getting, like, super cool and raid ready. I'm I think, 275 power level. I think I'm well into raid ready, but once we do the raid, we'll even have a little chat about that. And Trials of the Nine, which is out now, and I'd love to jump into that, but again, we haven't had a chance of a full fire team because we're grown-ass men. And do things, but we're going to try get into that and chat about those two things. Two good points, I think, worth mentioning next week, hopefully. Yeah, well, that's the games we've been playing besides our feature game. But before we jump into that, this week's shout-out goes to our friends at Champagne Stereo. It's another podcast. These guys talk about mostly music-related things, especially around the sort of Asian community of different kind of, you know, K-pop and J-pop and, you know, hip-hop happening around the Asian sort of markets and stuff like that. They're very good friends of ours. It's Dano from Q-Film and Chong Ali from Pistola Avenue. Both chat about that stuff. And yeah, it's really interesting if you guys want to sort of check out a weird... I mean, a lot of you guys listening, you're hardcore gamers, so you've probably witnessed the strange world of Japan and Asia and how they do things very differently to our Western side of the world. But if you want to see that in music form, it is a very different and exciting world out there. So jump on and those guys can, let you know where to start and have a look and see that whole other colorful, crazy world of Asian music. But yeah, thanks guys. You guys are awesome. Champagne Stereo. Boom. And with that, let's jump into this week's feature game. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
The Sigma virus will infect you all in time.
All right, so this is developed and published by Capcom, and it is, I think, the fourth in the series, Marvel vs. Capcom. It's just all of Marvel's characters, well, a whole bunch of Marvel characters and a whole bunch of Capcom characters fighting each other. It was originally like an arcade game. It was like a super hit when it first came out, especially part two. And then third one came out on console a couple of years ago, and this is the latest one. That's basically the gist of the game. It feels a lot like Street Fighter being, developed and published by Capcom. You'd expect that. It's 2D. It's very quick, huge spectacle explosions and things going on screen and characters disappearing while you jump in the sky. And I've always felt they had like really huge sprites back in the day as well that really just fill the screen. But yeah, so I mean, that's the gist of what this game is. And I guess to me, it immediately feels great to play straight away. Like I played a few games on the couch with a good friend of mine, David, which is Dano from previously mentioned Champagne Stereo. We had a few fights sort of on the couch, which was nice, a bit old school, and that felt, like any fighting game feels. It was really cool. The fighter roster was a little bit smaller than I'd hoped. 3 and 2 were mammoth rosters and glorious. So, I don't know, they've gone, really small this time, like, using only 2 people per sort of franchise, and the big, big thing that they've left out is the entire X-Men franchise. I mean, Wolverine and Cyclops and Magneto were like go-to characters for this franchise, especially in the like pro community, and like, I don't know, they just felt like really important characters. Storm and Gambit, like just so many great fighters in the X-Men. You could almost just do X-Men versus Capcom, it's that versatile in itself that it was just such a shame to see none of those guys there. So it has to be something to do with licensing, I would imagine, because those are just such great characters to omit from a game that's just like begging for diversity. That aside though, it did really feel cool, like the characters individually. What stuck out to me is that each character moved like they did in their individual games, like on the Capcom side, which was really exciting. Like Dante from Devil May Cry, when he does his double jump, he had the sort of circle hologram that he was jumping off and all his moves looked familiar. And Arthur from Ghouls and Ghosts did similar sort of jumping styles, and just like jumping off walls. And I don't know, they did this really awesome thing of making it all feel like that game while still making each player still feel individually from their own game. I love the Frank West character, how he sort of grabs bits and pieces from his games. He's awesome. And I really love, like, they captured that game. Like, you throw zombies at people, or he's picking up whatever, like a golf club and a stick and a bat and a trolley cart. And it really feels a bit like playing Dead Rising just for that split second. So that was cool. The individual voice acting was mostly good. Yeah, there's a few, like, cool little inside jokes for each character. I think there's one word that can say what the worst part of this entire game is. Two words. And those words are Injustice 2 is the biggest problem for this game. I feel like if this game came out before Injustice 2, it would have affected my opinion and my end score and just my enjoyment throughout the game. It's unfair to keep saying, but it just compared... You have to compare the two because, one's about Marvel, one's about DC. They're both fighting games. But man, that story. The sad thing is the story in this game, it seems bad or it seems like, thrown together and lazy. But as far as fighting games go, that's how a story should be. Like I expected that's what a fighting game story would be. Like in the old Street Fighter games and the old Mortal Kombat games back in the day, they just threw that stuff together because no one really cared. We just wanted to fight our friends or just climb a ladder. In saying that, I just think the story wouldn't seem so bad if, like, NetherRealms, with their recent Mortal Kombat games and their last two Injustice games didn't just nail the story magically out of a game about essentially two people hitting the shit out of each other till one falls down. And they just kind of stitched it together. Even, you know, like ridiculous things like the DC cast and just dragging people from all different comics and making them work together in a way that was like believable and enjoyable. It's like, oh wow, okay, this is a thing now. And then this game comes out, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite does it, and it's like, it just looks so bad compared to it. It just looks lazy and tacked on, unfortunately. I don't know. Nothing was explained. And then, you know, there's the twist at the end to sort of sum up a bit of the story that you're actually watching. But I'm like, again, how did these guys all come together? Where? What's going on here? How come some are here? How do they all know each other's names? How come Chun-Li can pick up Thanos and throw him across the room? Why can Arthur beat up the Hulk? Why? I mean, it's fun. And back when they didn't explain it, I was just okay with it all. But now that they're trying to make it a story, I'm like, all right, well, explain yourself. What is going on here? And it's a... I hate saying it, but it is a bit tedious as well, because the lazy part comes in when they make you kind of fight the same type of bad guy over and over and over again with different characters instead of being creative with the combinations. They'll say like, okay, you guys fight these two sort of army drones, all right, and now you guys fight these two other army drones, which are the same, and now a different pair fight them. And sometimes you'd fight literally the same person, not just like clones, but you'd fight the same person three or four times. And I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but if the roster was bigger, maybe we wouldn't have to fight the same person. I don't know. Oh, and Infinity Stones, of course. It is worth mentioning those stones. That is kind of their little extra gimmick that makes them different from other fighting games. They are pretty interesting. They just do like a different move when you press a button, or then there's a super move once you load them up, like some of them, you know, suck someone's health away. Some of them make you teleport through people, and so on. There's all kinds of different things to experiment with. And there's really cool art in the galleries there to collect as well and unlock. And I really enjoyed looking through that, especially if you guys are fans of any of these characters. There's just some really cool designs. So that's cool to check out. Yeah, all that bad stuff aside, it's no denying that this is made by fighting game experts in the field. It feels just beautiful, and the presentation is very nice. I gave it a 7.5, just because, I mean, I don't really think, I personally can't spend a lot of time on these things as multiplayer, and I enjoy sitting down and playing a game on my own a lot, which I guess means I shouldn't be playing fighting games very often, so this is a very personal opinion, but I just don't see myself enjoying this on my own for very long at all, and the story was just hard. And like, maybe things like, I would have loved if they included a lot more costumes to unlock, you know, from past comics and past movies, again, like Injustice 2 did. But things like that to unlock would be really exciting, because these guys, especially the Marvel guys, have such a vast history, and that'd be fun to play as and do, but little things like that. But yeah, still a 7.5, which is, you know, still very good. But yeah, that is Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite, our feature game of the week. All right, and that brings us right to Backtrack.
What we're going to do right here is go back. Way back. Back into time.
This is a segment that we do every week, which is just a look back at this week in the history of games. A good one this week that I'm quite excited about. If you guys have checked out our Facebook, again, facebook.com/GameTrainPodcast. Exactly 20 years ago today, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey is released. How cool is that? That was the Dark Souls of its day. Everyone who I talked to that played that game was just like, nah, no way. Or like, dude, this is like, it'll kill you. You can barely get past the first. And, you know, we didn't have as much sort of walkthroughs and help online and things like that. It's just like, you just get in there and you try your dang hardest to get through it. And again, I mean, this goes back years and years. And again, David, aka Dano from Champagne Stereo, we played this together and, you know, taking turns. And we did it on the PC with a keyboard. And we finished it on that. So I remember us like, look, and there's really cool secrets. We had this moment, which, you know, David still reminds me of to this day, which it was very embarrassing. I just remember because he owned it on his PC, and I'd come over and visit and play it. And so I'd be coming over and he's like, oh, look at that gap there. Looks like a bit of a secret. And I just remember it was just this bit of the game, and we'd reached this really hard point, and I'm like, I don't know, it looks like a fall to the death. All right, let's see. And I press space, and I jumped, and Abe makes this really sad noise when he dies. And for some reason, David was just rolling around laughing at me, and I was extremely embarrassed. I don't know why, because, you know, we took a lot of pride in our skill as gamers back then when we were younger. And anytime I try and tell him how good I am at something or that I'm beating him, he's like, yeah, but remember that jump in Oddworld Abe's Odyssey? Like, wow, you lied. You fooled me. 20 years, man. It hurts. It hurts still. There has been a recent remaster by the guys at Just Add Water. Those guys are just the coolest guys ever because they brought this back and they changed some things. Like, they made... It's a full remaster. The screen moves differently, but all the pieces of that game that you love are still there. All the old puzzles. It is just as hard. It runs super smooth. It's a lot of fun. So let's just sit here and cross all fingers, toes, and everything for the same treatment for Abe's Exodus. Boom. All right, let's move right along to this week's passenger questions. We've got a lot. We've got a lot this week, actually. It was a very popular episode last week, I guess, with the Destiny 2 giveaway. So we had a lot of listeners and a lot of curious people. So, I mean, I hope you guys come back to hear the answers to this. But let's see. First question from Brendan Hawkins. And he said, I've built up a few games over a little while that I really want to play. But for various reasons, I've either barely begun them or they're still in the wrapper. With a newborn in the house, spare time is in short supply. So can you guys please advise which of the following I really need to knuckle down and play next? Okay, here's his list. Far Cry 4, Uncharted 4, Metal Gear The Phantom Pain, Assassin's Creed Syndicate, Zelda Breath of the Wild. If you want to knuckle down and smash them out, I reckon open with Uncharted 4. I mean, it's not as, you know, like even Far Cry 4, Metal Gear, and Zelda, those are like blow your mind, open world, have a lot of fun type games. But this one is like smash it out in a day or two. And it's, if you, yeah, like this is Uncharted 4, like not Lost Legacy. This is that, I think that one was just great story, awesome set pieces. Just like bam, bam, wow, this is amazing, cool, done. Done. You can put that away. Get out of its wrapper. Finish it. Call it a day. Say you've experienced one of the best looking games in the history of the medium. After that, I guess, I mean, especially with the baby and being a grown ass man and doing things in life, you know, pick up the Switch and get started on Zelda Breath of the Wild. Because, you know, that game is like, it's a two-sided thing. Because one, it's like a ginormous, you know, hundreds of hours game. But also, you can pick it up for 20 minutes, 10 minutes so easily because there's the little mini dungeons. You can just look for one or two Korok seeds and call it a day. You know, you can set yourself these little goals that make it a really fun game to play in little, you know, spurs between putting the baby to sleep and waiting for it to wake up again, smash out a dungeon, okay, feed it, put it back to sleep, look for a Korok seed. You know, those kind of things, just to chip away at. I guess that's our answer to that one. Ooh, I hope we were a bit of a help. Sorry, that's a good list. It's an impressive list, but yeah, good luck chipping away at that. Let's see. We've got a few other questions. We gotta rush through these. We're kind of running out of time. Next one comes from Peter. He didn't give us his full name, but that's okay. It's a mystery to us. You are safe. Peter says, when you were younger, were you part of the console war? And if so, were you a Nintendo or PlayStation supporter? I found that so funny. PlayStation? That's so cute. These guys weren't even in the war yet. When I started dabbling in this whole console war thing, I guess back in the day, it was just good old Nintendo versus Sega, Mario versus Sonic. If you read any of those old comics or magazines, I should say, like Nintendo Power and whatnot, people used to send in drawings of like Mario tearing Sonic's head off or like cutting him half with a chainsaw and vice versa in other comics. But mine is super easy. My allegiance lies with Nintendo. When I was Nintendo versus Sega, I had Super Nintendo. I played on, again, making a lot of appearances this episode, David aka Dano from Champagne Stereo. Yeah, our friendship goes back a fair way. since 1990, which he got wrong when telling someone, which we're going to have a little talk about later, but that's cool. Yeah, we played on his Nintendo Entertainment System, and that's what made me fall in love. And then I got Super Nintendo to the point where I got Mario from Super Mario Brothers 3 tattooed on my arm. So that's where my allegiance lies. Then I went Nintendo 64, and I didn't get a PlayStation until ages. But yeah, so I guess I was Nintendo to answer your question. All right, we'll just do one more real quick one questions. This one's from Ryan, and he says, when do you think PlayStation and Xbox will finally get a good cross-platform system happening? I think never. I think PlayStation are just kind of a bit too cocky with their 60.4 million user base, which, I mean, it's sad because everyone else, and I can see why Xbox is chasing them because, you know, but anyway, yeah, I'm not quite sure. All right, well, we have a lot more questions, but we'll get to those next episode and try and smash through them as best as we can. But right now we got to finish up, which brings us to our lame train and hype train. So, lame train. Mine is Nintendo. Just chill the hell out and stop showing me Mario Odyssey. Just stop it. And I, you know, secondly, underneath that, I don't care that he has nipples. So does every other Italian in the whole world. Get over it. But fine, that's fine. You guys do what you want on the internet and chat about that if that's what you please. But I'm just, guys, I'm sold. I'm very excited. I'm gonna get Mario. Stop showing it to me. The thing about playing the Mario games, for me, and I don't know if it's for everyone, I have a feeling it could be, but is that discovery of world after world. It's just so fun to go like and learn like, oh, okay, what's this world's deal? Cool, this one is desert. Cool, this one is haunted. Wow, you know, in this one I'm like, and then this adds an extra thing again in like you now have completely different and exciting and cute little costumes to wear. You know, like fully different outfits, not just change color of your overalls, you know, like the Mexican hat thing and then the white hat. And then they show him in boardies. First time he's been in boardies with no shirt in his 30 plus year history. He's got like, I don't know how many games Mario's been in. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games. Never been in that outfit. If I was playing Super Mario Odyssey and all of a sudden I go into this beach world and here I am chilling out, you know, in just boardies running around, I would have been like, oh my God, this is so cool. Look how cute that is. Look how next level this is. This is so fun. But no, I know that now. So when it happens to me, I'll be like, oh yeah, this is the thing they showed. Cool. There's his nipples. And I mean, like, the snow place, seen it. The candy place, seen it. What have they shown, like, seven worlds? Anyway, I'm going to stop now, but that's obviously my lame train. Okay, and now for my hype train. Oh, with all the fun we've been having with Destiny 2, I want a bigger crew, so I'm stupid excited for Sea of Thieves. I was already hyped for that, but now that we've just thrown all these hours into Destiny and, you know, besides doing a raid, you can only really have a group of three. It just made me just feel like Sea of Thieves and crewing on a ship and hunting for treasure in a huge crew in this giant open world. I can't wait. That is my hype train at the moment. Boom. So that's our show this week, guys. Next week, we're going to be talking and taking a look at Pokken Tournament DX on the Switch, which is Nintendo's Pokemon fighting game. It came out on the Wii U. I guess they're re-releasing it with a whole bunch of extra features. Thanks again so much for listening. And sorry on behalf of Callan and myself for his random disappearance today, halfway through the episode. We missed you, buddy. Get that good computer and let's do this thing next week. We'll have a proper chat. I guess we don't have Callan's fact of the day. Let me see. I think he told it to me somewhere here. I'm going to do it for him. Sorry, Callan. Closing fact today is that the original Xbox was originally called the Direct Xbox, and it was a way of Microsoft showcasing their graphic engine and using that power in a console. Yeah. So I hope I did that right, Callan. So thank you again, everyone, on behalf of myself and Callan, for listening always, and we'll see you guys next week. This has been Game Train.